Welcome into Season 4, Episode 2 of the Sabermetrics Podcast. My name is Bill. Alongside me, as always, is Walt. Walt, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. Just missing Sabres hockey. I know we're Dalton Smith days away from the first regular season game for the Sabres.
I'm already looking forward to it. Like, I don't want to wish time away and wish away, like, the nice weather and the summer and everything like that, but I can... I'm ready. You know, I'm ready for some... Bills and Sabres content. I mean, the fall is just, it doesn't miss. It's the best time of year.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
I'm loving it. So speaking of, I guess, this fall, one of the things I've been thinking about recently, just hopping right into things, is how important it is for a team to get off to a good start. If you want to make the playoffs, you have to get off to a good start. As they say, you can't make the playoffs in October, November, even December maybe, but you can certainly lose it. And that's something that we saw. They went on that massive skid. Yes, they had a lot of injuries when they went out west. But at the same time, let's also consider the fact that you can't just go on skids like that anymore. Like, that's just not acceptable. Like, you are now at a point where people can't write this off. Like, the expectation is playoffs, and so that also means getting off to a good start. Is that... am I barking up the right tree? Should people expect the Sabres to get off to a good start? And if they don't, then, you know, it is warranted that there's some upset fans?
Oh, yeah, I'd say so. Especially if you're a team looking to make it to the playoffs like the Sabres for the first time in a while, you definitely want to get off that hot start and don't want to be starting off on the wrong foot. They're really not a veteran group, so starting off hot and just trying to keep up the pace, I feel like, is the best way for this group to make it to the playoffs. And just looking at their schedule to start the season, they got the Rangers, Islanders, Lightning, Flames, Islanders again as their first five games, and the Canadiens in that six games. So I guess that's a pretty standard stretch of schedule for the Sabres. The Rangers are a team they're able to beat last year in the end of season a few times. The Islanders always gave the Sabres a good battle, so that those games will probably be a little tough. You got the Lightning, who they're always good. Flames, don't know what to expect there. And then Canadians, that's a game you should win. So I think those are all six winnable games to start off the season. So I think they have everything right there for them to get off to a hot start.
I agree. And, I mean, there's just a natural progression that you would expect with a team. It's like, hey, a little bit of maturity, knowing and actually going out and performing in those early games to really set, you know, kind of plant their flag and say, this is, you know, this is what's happening this season. So I just kind of, I was just thinking about that earlier, and it was just something I wanted to bring up. This is going to be an episode one. I'm testing audio, changing up a couple small little tiny details that I noticed. Maybe other people didn't even notice, but it bothered me. And we also don't have any kind of outline, really. I think we wrote down like one or two things just to make sure we did touch on it. But other than that, it's going to be all over the place. So trying to describe to people what's going on in this episode is going to be difficult, I'm realizing.
Just freestyling it.
The off-season freestyles.
You know, yeah.
Just lure people in thinking we're going to just drop a beat. Oh, man. Okay. Well, let's talk about at least a couple things that we did actually write down before we just go off on tangents. The Carlson deal. Erik Karlsson's going to Pittsburgh. And I want to get your take, and then I'll add my two cents. But I guess I just assumed that it just wasn't going to happen just because of how tight the Penguins have been cap-wise recently. But I mean, I can understand why they went after him. It's one of those things where you have Crosby and Malkin, doesn't matter how old they're getting. It's the same thing with Ovechkin. You got to go for it. You just have to. Like, yeah, the next 15 years are probably going to suck. It's going to be tough times in Pittsburgh. Good luck, Kyle Dubas. But their window is still open, and so you have to go for it. So I can see why they did it. I will save, you know, kind of my other thoughts until after you go, but I understood why they did it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a deal that makes a lot of sense for Pittsburgh, and I don't really think it makes a lot of sense for many other NHL teams. And like you said, you really have to try to finish off that Crosby, Malkin, Letang era strongly. I mean, it was pretty much lucking into getting those two guys. They had a great dynasty, so may as well just ride it out with those two. I mean, they already have the cups. They already have the glory. They have everything you can want in an NHL franchise with this group. So I think they're much better off trying to ride out this current group than trying to rebuild with mid-first round draft picks. That's always a tall order. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch Carlson play with Malkin and Crosby next season. I don't know how much those guys, especially Crosby and Malkin, have left in the tank, but they're both premier players. I think Carlson could bring out a different part of their game. He's just such a unique defenseman. And it's definitely going to be fun to watch. And I really like the move for Pittsburgh, too. I mean, they shed some bad salary. The Carlson contract doesn't really matter that much because, like you said, with the Crosby and Malkin and Letang contracts, they're just trying to maximize their results for the next 2-3 years. So I think from that perspective, it's perfect. I don't really think they have to worry about paying a 37-year-old Carlson too much in 4 years because they're probably be in the middle of the rebuild at that point, or at least the start of it. And yeah, I think it's a good move. I think it definitely makes Pittsburgh an interesting team in terms of competing for a playoff spot with the Sabres. I think they're going to be right there with them now rather than falling further behind. So I like the move, and I always love seeing trades like this in the NHL.
Yeah. I mean, for that fact, absolutely. Because like there's some names going. I mean, to Carlson's going, Pitlick's coming from Montreal, and I believe there's an AHL guy, a couple draft picks, obviously. But then there's Mikael Granlund and Mike Hoffman and Jan Ruta on a lesser degree. But I guess the Hoffman thing just went over my head when I first read it. But Hoffman's going to San Jose. And then Petrie's going back to – he was – Jeff Petrie, yeah, he was a Canadiens player for a while.
Yeah.
And then Casey DeSmith is going up there, and so is, oh, God, L-E-G-A-R-E, Legree.
Oh, the Quebec guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget how to pronounce his name.
I mean, I'm bad enough with, like, the most basic last names. You're going to start throwing French Canadians in there? I don't freaking think so. but, yeah, that's like that's a fun trade. I definitely understood it from the sense of like there's not many unless you are a rebuilding team and you're just like willing to just like pay, but you're like you still want to get butts in seats. You're just like, all right, we'll take on the massive cap hit and he's going to score like 80 points a game or 80 points a season, but we're also going to lose the game 6-4. It's like it's almost like I was talking about with Victor Olsson in our last thing where I was basically like he is the perfect guy because he'll fill up the net, but there's other parts of his game that are lacking that can result into you maybe not necessarily winning the game. It's not all on him. It's a team game, obviously, but I think people understand where I'm coming from. And so that's just it, for that sense, I totally understood it. I mean, if any other team that was really like pushing for the playoffs or consistently trying to stay in it or be in a contender for the next couple of years, I can't think of off the top of my head who would be a good fit there other than Pittsburgh or a better fit than Pittsburgh. But it's also interesting that they now have Carlson and Letang. It's going to be like, holy crap. They're going to do the old Lindy method. Yeah, we're just going to win this game 7-6, baby. Just like, trying to outscore us. You know, maybe we'll win some games. We run into a hot goalie, but for the most of the time, they just can't handle our firepower. Maybe that's what they're going for. I'm not exactly sure. I'm interested to see it. And he's going to look good in that uniform. I don't really have any strong opinions about Pittsburgh either way, frankly. But I will say that they have some nice uniforms, and he's going to look good in them. So there's the update on Carlson. Back to some Sabres stuff. We noticed that there are 24 guys. This is where notes actually came in. The only notes I actually took. The Sabres might have a legal roster problem. I shouldn't say problem, but just something to deal with. Because as of right now, they have 24 players on their roster, and for the season, your roster is set to 23. This does include Quinn being on the IR. So let's say Quinn comes back and they still have these 24 players. Well, that turns to 25. Obviously, when he comes back, they won't have that issue, but they're going to, if they're at 23 at that point and Quinn comes back, there you go. There's another issue. This does not include Yuri Kulik either, or Kulik, whatever. So that, if you wanted to add him, there's 25 out of 23. Add Quinn, there's 26. So we were sitting and thinking, all right, well, you have to move on from someone. Who's it going to be? I think our contenders were defensemen. Maybe a goalie, either UPL or Comrie, figuring out exactly who would maybe win the backup battle, and then you just kind of have to get rid of the other one on the roster. We will be talking about that in a second. But Bryson, Stillman, and Lyubushkin were the three names that we brought up. And I wanted to see, I think we probably agreed on Bryson, but could you make a case for maybe keeping Bryson and getting rid of Stillman, maybe keeping both those guys and getting rid of Lyubushkin? Is there any kind of devil's advocate you can play there?
I think for me, I really feel like the Bryson era kind of ended, especially towards the end of last season, and the fact that they just traded for Stillman makes me really not able to find any argument for keeping Bryson over Stillman. Like, if they do, I could maybe understand it, but I'd also be very shocked at the same time. I just think Stillman, he kind of brings that, like, unhinged element to the Sabres defense group that they really don't have. I mean, Dahlin kind of showed it off a little bit
you don't want that to be like his main. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, you don't want him getting too chaotic, but I mean, Stillman,
spraying dudes in the face.
Yeah. And Stillman got in that fight too against Tanner Janot, I think it was on Tampa, got knocked out.
Was tough. He just couldn't get a grip and then just got absolutely wrecked. Yeah, it was tough.
A big size differential too, but I mean, really just not that good feistiness that you see from him. And he's a good hockey player at the end of the day too. I mean, he had pretty good impacts in his time in Buffalo. I mean, more goals above replacement in his Buffalo era than Chychrun in his Ottawa era so far. So there's also that little tidbit to throw out there. So I think I'd say with 9 defensemen on cap friendly right now, my best guess for what they do next year would maybe be go back to 13 forwards, 7 defensemen, and 3 goalies. And that would mean getting rid of 2 defensemen. And then with Bryson being the one guy that's gone, then you get into the Lyubushkin versus Stillman conversation. And that one's probably even more difficult, but I want to say with the right-handed defenseman they acquired, I mean, we could even throw Joki Haru in here too.
Yeah, probably.
So
yeah,
you come down to Joki Haru, Lyubushkin, and then Stillman for that 7th defenseman spot, and one of those 3 guys will probably also be gone. So that's going to be interesting. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, this wouldn't even be something I'd bet on to see what they'd end up doing. Like, I don't know if they plan on making a trade.
Yeah.
Which is the likely scenario, waiving guys.
They might end up future consideration Bryson to someone.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's the best I got. But, like, who's even going to pick him up for that? I really don't know. I don't know.
He might be, like, a Hinostroza guy, I'd imagine, where it's, like, they try to shop him around with retaining salary. Nobody's interested, so they just, like, you're just going to have to tough it up and be in Rochester with us for a little bit. I think that would be the case with Bryson.
Yeah, they could send him to Rochester and basically say, like, wait for a team to have some injuries, and then we'll try to, you know, work a line there. Like, after, what is it, like, usually, like, the first 15, 20 games, and then GMs are like, okay, this is where we're at. Now we need to start making some moves, stuff like that. Maybe if some injuries come up, people will be interested in Bryson. I mean,
yeah. I mean, just that contract, like, Fitzgerald at least was, like, close to a league minimum contract when he got claimed by Florida. Bryson's got a 1.85 million cap in that season.
I mean, I know they were trying to get to the floor the past couple seasons, but now you look at it and you're just like, ugh. I mean,
yeah.
If you look at it next year when the cap goes up, it's a little bit better, but I mean, good for him. Hey, good for him.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, good for you. Get your money, dude. Like, that's good money, and you know, take it if you can get it. So let's move on to that UPL Comrie thing, because I've heard people kind of, I don't know. Man, I don't remember who I heard talking about it. I don't think it was necessarily a Sabres follower, because I think we know I think someone else mentioned, they're like, yeah, I think UPL's waiver exempt. No, he isn't, at least according to Cap Friendly. Which, oh, yeah. Also, by the way, if you go on to Cap Friendly after what we just spoke about, you're also going to see Lucas Rusek on there, on the thing. And you'll be like, I didn't talk about him. Why is he on there? We replaced Levi with Rusek when we were talking about this because Levi isn't technically on there on like the 23-man roster. So we just switched the two. So if you end up going on to Cap Friendly and you're like, the hell are these guys talking about? That's what we did. Anyway, moving back to, UPL and Comrie. I was thinking about this the other day. I think I have more confidence in Comrie. One, he's been an NHL backup. He's done it before. And two, it's just like, he might not be the best, but he's also more consistent. UPL might have a very good game, and then there's going to be a game where it's just like, what happened? It really just kind of depends on what they want. They could maybe say, hey, we're going to hold on to UPL. You know, Comrie can go do what he wants because we want to get UPL. Hopefully those games that he's on, he gets us those wins, and then the other games we just kind of chalk it up as L's. Like, I'm sure they don't think that way. I'm sure they don't. But that's how I'm thinking. Like, where's your thought process with that whole backup situation? Because I think he's incredible, but I'm still not totally comfortable with Levi being the starter, but he is. So that's just what it is. Like, I have no doubts about his abilities. It's just, he's a rookie. And that's a lot to ask, man. Like, a team that's supposed to just go to the playoff, like, first time trying to make the playoffs, or I shouldn't say first time trying to make the playoffs, but first time realistically having, like, when people say, yeah, we should make the playoffs this year, they're not being nuts. Last year, I guess you could probably consider it too, maybe one or two years during the Eichel era, even though looking back, you're like, they were top heavy. That first line and maybe some change was great, but other than that, that team stunk. But this is it. And to put that all on his shoulders, I think of young goalies, not saying I know all these young goalies out there, but I do trust Levi more than I would trust someone else. But that's just a lot to ask. But he is a starter. That's just, I think we all just need to acknowledge that and support the kid. And if he has a couple bad games, we could do too down on him. But where do you sit with his backup?
This is where it gets interesting, just because you're dealing with a guy that was a backup goalie in the NHL prior to joining the Sabres with the Winnipeg Jets. And he was fantastic that year, probably the best backup goalie in the NHL. And last season in Buffalo, he was not that great, but not the worst goalie in the NHL. Then you have a guy like UPL who really hasn't put up great numbers at like any level of hockey since he was in the OHL with Sudbury, which was like a while ago. I want to say that was 2019. And you're really just kind of hoping for the potential to finally hit with him. I mean, he's got great physical tools. He's made some incredible saves and even had some great performances for the Sabres. I mean, just consistency has been the issue. So it's going to be an interesting question. I don't know how long they'll wait to find the answer to it. Maybe they roll three guys, which will cause more moves further up the lineup in the forwards and defenseman spots. Maybe they go with two and they waive a guy after training camp, after preseason, because I imagine it'd be pretty hard to find a spot to trade a goalie after preseason, where most teams have their two goalies already set. It's really not a situation that like alarms me too much. I mean, I know I should be more afraid to have Devin Levi being expected to play like 40 plus games.
Yeah.
Because we only have a small sample of him. But I mean, this guy is like, I know I talk about him way too much, but he's like barely human. I feel like he's just like unreal with his dedication to the game, just with how he plays, with like how he succeeds at every level. Like, he's almost just like, if you could make like the perfect goalie prospect outside of his size, it'll probably look like Devin Levi. I mean, he's just such a talented player, and every time you put a challenge in front of this kid, he always comes out on top. Like, it's almost unreal. I mean, just looking back at his run with the Sabres, where he was a main part in almost sneaking the Sabres team into the playoffs, I just think back with that Rangers shootout game, Madison Square Garden. He's staring down Artemi Panarin, who's the greatest NHL shootout guy in the history of the NHL shootout. He stares him down, does not even let him get a shot off, wins the game for the Sabres, keeps their season alive. And this is a kid who was sitting in a college classroom just like 3 weeks before that.
I mean, I watched that the other week, and it was like he had Kane come down on him, Panarin, and then like someone else who was really good, Tarasenko. He had Tarasenko, Kane, and Panarin all come down on him, and he just looked incredible. The one thing I will say about Devon Levi, as a grown man myself, I'm scared of him. Something about him, you know? Which like it is great to have a goalie, but he frightens me a little bit. You know what I mean? Like he can't, do you understand what I'm saying here? He's just a little bit off, you know? Seems like
Yeah, he's
nice,
got like
seems like a nice guy.
goalie vibes.
Yeah, great family. Seems like he comes from a great family, great upbringing, very good head on his shoulders, and I'm terrified of him. So that's where we're at. I'm not actually terrified of him, but he's just like he's very interesting. He's just an
Yeah,
interesting
no,
dude. It's fun to
he's like,
watch.
yeah, that's why I say he's like barely human. He's like a hockey playing robot. I mean, just with the way he processes the game and the way he just like faces adversity and all these challenging situations, just with like a smile and a laugh. It's just like
Yeah.
this guy is on a different level.
I mean, can you imagine? Like, you just sit two guys in a room. One of them's Devon Levi, and the other one's Owen Power. And they could probably just sit in a room for 4 hours, just not saying anything, and get like more done than I could like working the entire day.
Yeah.
They're just interesting dudes. They're cool and normal or whatever, but they're just so hyper focused on being like just like the best player that they can be. And it's I know that's very like every player is trying to be the best player they can be, but like they actually do it. And I mean, just
Yeah.
after Power's year last year, like the only thing that I wanted more from him was offensive production. And I just, that's just gonna kind of cut. Like, if you have the defense down, you're a defenseman. If you have the defense down, especially when you're young, that's a lot more impressive than if you put up a bunch of points. I'm like, cool, Tyler Myers did that too. Like, that doesn't faze me as much as a young player playing that well just in all phases of the game. And it's just like we got a couple robots. And then you have Dahlin, who's just like really breaking out of his shell and just kind of like being more of, it's just like nice to kind of see. Well, this is also a shout out to like the Sabres social media team, but he's just, you see him growing up before our eyes, and he's still so young too. It's wild to think about. I
Yeah.
mean, it's hard not to just like go down the list of guys and just like really start raving about like all the things that that they bring on and off the ice, and even commend, management and coaching staff and for building this culture. But this is like, I was saying the past couple off seasons, this is the easy part for you, Kevin. You just have to stand pat, and this is probably the last year or the last summer, even though I would like you to still do some things this summer. This is probably the last summer that he can really like stand pat. Because next year, if they make the playoffs, great, awesome. I still think people are going to want to see improvement via, making more moves, signings, trades, whatever it might be. But this is the pressure's on now. So I can rant, rave, and about how awesome these guys are, but now we need to see the results. And I'm going to keep coming back to that because, like, as much as we don't want to be too hard on them and saying like, putting too much pressure on them or trying not to sound like fanboys. Like, this is a genuinely fun team, but at the end of the day, like this year, we can't just be like, oh, well, the vibes are still intact. No, like it's freaking playoffs. Like it's time. And that's just where I'm at. I just want to keep reiterating that because we need to, be level-headed about it. It's a long season. Again, we talked about it in the beginning. They need to get off to a good start, but if they don't, I mean, I'm not going to freak out, but we still need to hold that expectation without losing our minds. I know that was, I kind of went like all over the road. That's again what we do without an outline. But like, do you
No,
share my sentiment there?
yeah, I mean, I definitely, it's going to be, I mean, we've already been burnt by Sabres team in the past with like the 2014-2015 build. And it's not really like none of those players panned out. It's more that they just didn't pan out in Buffalo. I mean, we saw Eichel lift the cup. We saw Reinhart play against him in the Stanley Cup. We saw JT Compher lift the cup. We saw like Montour succeed, even though he was an addition later on. I mean, we saw Will Borgen play big minutes for Seattle in the playoffs. So I think the players are definitely there, and I think the players are definitely here with this build too. The interesting thing is with like Kevin Adams, with his type of hands-off approach, I think next offseason gets really interesting because Zach Benson might not make the team this year, but I think he's 100% on the team next season. Ooh. You have a guy like Jiří Kulik who might not make the team this season. I think he's 100% on the team next season. Then you have a guy like Matt Savoy. I don't think he's going to make the team this season. I do think there's a good chance he's on the team the season after. And then you already have your guys like Skinner, Thompson, Tuck, Cousins, Quinn, Paterka, Krebs, Mittelstadt. That leaves like maybe one, two forward spots there. So I think this season's going to be really interesting. If they make it to the playoffs and win a series or two, I think they kind of enter like 05, 06, 06, 07 Sabres territory where they pretty much went into the next season after losing that playoff series and didn't really make too many massive moves, more just like complementary moves, which I think we'll see throughout the Sabres tenure with Kevin Adams, just because I think all those big movers, I think, are already in place. I mean, I think you have your number one goalie in Devin Levi. You have your number one defenseman, Rasmus Dahlin, and I think you have a second number one defenseman in Owen Power, which really helps fill in those depth spots. I mean, you got your top line of Skinner, Tuck, and Thompson. I mean, Skinner's getting older, but I mean, he still probably has a few good years left. And then coming in behind him, I mean, you got Cousins, Paterka, Quinn, Savoy, Benson, Kulik, even go down the list like Oslin, Rosin. Those guys don't even have to pan out. But if they do, I mean, it's just icing on the cake. So they're in a really interesting spot right now. I kind of hope the Sabres succeed this year just so they stick to the course and don't make any panic moves, because I do think if they miss the playoffs this season, they could make a panic move, which may seem good at the time just because you're doing something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think just doing stuff is always a good thing. I mean, look at a team like Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like them doing stuff kind of like wrecked the last few years at Crosby and Malkin. So I really hope they do well this year just so
they don't have to do anything rash.
Yeah. Just so they don't have to do anything too crazy.
Yeah, but it's also like the natural progression too. It's like, look, guys, like we've bought into the natural progression of this squad. We didn't make a lot of changes or upgrades last season. Just missed the playoffs. A lot of people were upset that they did not do more at the trade deadline. There's a lot of people that were really upset. They really were.
I mean, I understood
which it.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, people were pissed.
Like their record post trade deadline was like, you really can't improve upon that.
Yeah, which is just like
done worse.
Yeah, which is like lucky for the people that were defending the Sabres. Like, did I want them to do a little bit more? Yes, but did I want them to sell the farm? No, kind of thing. Because I've been bought in for the natural progression, but natural progression, you miss the playoffs by 1 point. That means you have to be in it next season. Again, we'll go over the whole injuries and that, you know, they're very healthy last season. I get it. It's already taken a massive shot with Quinn going down. That's a freaking bummer. I was really hoping this was going to be like a 30 goal campaign for him. But, you know, just want him to get healthy at this point. Rolling back to that 2006-2007 season, you know what? You know what was pretty nice about that? The 10-game winning streak that they started the season on. First game was on October 4th. They didn't lose a game until the 28th, and it was a shootout loss to the Thrashers.
I forgot about that game.
Yeah, okay. How could you forget about that game?
I do remember it though, because like
shootout
I remember. Yeah, every game during that win streak was like, I just feel like it mattered so much.
I mean, we've also had another 10-game win streak that turns out didn't freaking matter at all. So
yeah, that was
oh god.
It was fun while it was going on, but then looking at the numbers behind it, it's like this was probably the luckiest run in NHL history.
Seven overtime wins or some crap.
Just getting outshot every game, outchanced, and like winning 2-1 in a shootout or overtime.
Look, I mean, like, you need those games. You need to win some of those games for sure. Like, playoff teams, they win games. They win, some of them win a lot of games that they didn't necessarily, like, were the better team. They didn't necessarily deserve it, is what I should have said. But they do.
Yeah.
But they win it. So that's what the Sabres need to do.
Yeah, if you could win when you're playing bad, that's amazing. But if you're playing bad all the time, like those Sabres teams were, then you're just going to lose eventually.
Oh, God. Ralph Krueger was a coach. Was a coach for the Sabres. Like, he actually, he every morning he would get up, he would go to the rink, he would do their little pregame skate. He was still their coach. He would go home. He would do whatever. He'd put it on his suit. He would slick back the hair that he had left. And he would go back to side. That was a shot at people losing their hair. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. That was just rude. Anyway, and he would go, and he was the coach.
I think he was like writing in an economics journal, like in between intermissions, probably rather than like writing up a play. He's probably like
day trade. He's day trading during the day. Like,
yeah, he's doing like a supply demand curve of like the oil supply in Germany in the 1990s.
Oh God. This is what happens when we don't, we need to, okay, duly noted, we need an outline, because then we just start either, I just go off on tangents, or I just start crapping on people. So, brother, what else is going on with the Sabres? Oh, prospect camp. We're going to talk about some players that we might see there.
Yeah, I mean, the prospect challenge coming up, and for me, I think, outside of the big names, I'm really looking forward to seeing a guy like Nikita Novikov, who I know people that went to the Sabres development camp scrimmage that Tuesday morning. I was not able to watch it. I wish it wasn't on a Tuesday. But I heard Nikita Novikov was one of the more impressive players, and he'll be in North America this season in Rochester. So he's expected to be on that Sabres team during that prospects challenge in September. So I think he's a guy who's going to be really fun to watch. I mean, just a big defenseman, kind of adds an element to the Sabres group they don't already have. And I think if he impresses in Rochester this season, he's a guy who I could see in the NHL by 2024, as crazy as it sounds. Maybe 24, 25. If he really impresses this year, he already has a ton of KHL experience. I think he's a guy who could be pushing for an NHL roster spot sooner rather than later.
There, that reminds me, I did want to look up the Rochester roster, because they brought in a couple guys. It is also nice that they brought in a couple guys for Kisikov to hang out with. Like, I remember listening to, like, I'm a big fan of listening to Seth Appert speak. Like, you can say stuff about his coaching style, and sometimes they kind of get run out of the building at times, but that's just the AHL. But like, he's very articulate. I can see why they like him. And he was basically saying, like, yeah, he's doing his best, and he's really trying to adapt, and, you know, he's a good kid, but it's taking a while. That's tough, man. Like, you live in Russia. That is very different than living in Rochester, New York. I lived in Rochester, New York for years. I loved it. I still do. I might even move back. I don't know. That's not what this podcast is about. But it's like, I feel like that's going to be big for him. Like, I could see Kisikov having like a good year, just being a little bit more comfortable, like having the same routine again, and getting some of the guys, being able to speak their lingo, and just kind of hang out with each other in the off hours, instead of probably just like sitting in one of his teammates' place where he kind of gets what's going on. But otherwise, like, he's just a little bit lost. So, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to over, like, here's a good question. How much do you factor into off-ice stuff, whether it's, like, the chemistry with the team, or, like, personalities, or just, like, anything along those lines? Like, I think it plays a pretty big part in it. Like, there was a report when, like, Rasmus Ristolainen, after practice, would just, like, peace out. Would be gone before some guys got done with their extra work kind of thing. And this was your top defenseman. And then you hear guys now talking about, you know, we love hanging out with each other. All we want to do is hang out in the locker room after, stuff like this. Also, I hate to say it, but, you know, you kind of had some players that, I don't want to say big egos, but there was a lot of pressure on them, like maybe Eichel and Reinhardt. But, like, you heard Kyle Okposo say, Dahlin feels more comfortable. I think there it's just like a better dynamic in the locker room, and I think it was a lot easier for him to come in every day, practice or game, and just be more himself and be more free and play better. And, like, I'm not trying to crap on the guys that maybe made things a little bit more difficult. I think it's just better now. I don't think they were actively trying to sabotage anything. I think it's just better now. But how much, like, stock do you put into that kind of stuff?
I think for me, I put a lot of stock into it. I know I'm supposed to be like an analytics guy. I mean, my Twitter name's Sabermetrics. I'm supposed to be like,
this is a Sabermetrics podcast. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
We don't talk about his analytics as much as we probably should, but it's also a podcast. Do you really want us to, like, lecture you on numbers?
Yeah.
Like, throwing some in, totally fine. Totally get it. I do listen to some podcasts that have numbers thrown in them, but too many is a lot. So I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was just listening to another analytics podcast, Expected by Whom, named after the famous Mike Harrington quote. That's a really good analytics podcast. So.
Wait, who is that, a Sabres one or just like a general?
It's by a Red Wings writer with The Athletic. I forget his name, and a Stars writer.
Okay.
And they have on like analytics guests and stuff. It's pretty cool. And I think it's really funny that that's their name.
That's great stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, circling back.
Yeah, circling back. I mean, I'd say I just use a guy like Kyle Okposo as an example. I know like this offseason we see like a lot of people being like, oh, they should have replaced him with a guy whose RPM chart's slightly more blue than Kyle Okposo because it'll be better because of that. I'm like, just get real. Come on now. I mean, Okposo's such a big part of the Sabres locker room.
Team
he
dad.
Means like so much to this team. And I even saw like on Reddit Sabres, I venture on there every once in a while.
Yeah.
Someone posted a picture of Sam Reinhardt's wedding, and it looked like Kyle Okposo was a groomsman at the wedding. I think he was the only member of the Sabres there. So just thinking about how much this guy means to like everyone in that locker room, especially a younger locker room, I think the off-ice stuff is so important, especially after seeing this last Sabres core of Eichel and Reinhardt and all that crew that kind of fell apart because they didn't really have that off-ice aspect. And even a guy like Victor Antipin, who came over to the U.S. in that era, I know he really struggled with having no other Russian teammates and not really knowing English too well. He's a guy who only lasted here a year and did not have that much fun here during his time here because of that. So I think it's good to see them bring over the other Russian prospects in Rochester. I also look at a coach like Vinny Prospel. I know he's Czech, but I wonder if he's able to speak a little Russian as well, or maybe understand it or communicate with those players. Because I think that could definitely be a big help to those younger guys. So I think the Sabres, I think the big difference with what they're doing now and why they finally look like an actual NHL team again is because they really got that off-ice stuff in order.
Yeah.
Like they used to think building an NHL team was just about acquiring very talented players high in the draft, filling the other roster spots with trades, but there's so much more to it. I mean, all these guys are human beings. I mean, they all have feelings. This is their occupation. This is
like going their to work livelihood, every day. And they have one career. Like that's also why when people were so adamant, like I'm not necessarily his biggest fan, but when they were so angry at Eichel, I'm like, dude, he's got one life. He has one career. Like, did he handle things poorly at times? Absolutely. We all do, especially when we're that young. But man, like, he's got one career. This team was going freaking nowhere. And look at us now. Like, the people that are still salty, I get the people that were like angry immediately, but the people that are still salty, it's just like, grow up, man. Like, we're in a good spot too.
Yeah.
It's like, get over the breakup, you know? Just delete his number out of your phone. You'll be fine.
Like, yeah, I think That's the thing with a lot of these guys. I mean, your prime, it like comes and goes like that. I mean, just as a 26-year-old, just looking at like some NHL aging curves, I'm like, oh, thank God this doesn't really apply to like real life workforce type stuff, because like guys are already on the downturn at like 25, 26, according to some models, with like offensive goals above replacement and stuff like that. So it's like, it comes and goes like that. I mean, we even saw a guy like Derek Roy on the Sabres. He's a guy who injuries ended his career a little prematurely at the NHL level. He was a fantastic NHLer for like a 2-3 year span, and then a quick downturn, he's out of the league. So you really got to capitalize on those years where you're healthy, those years where you're lucky enough to be in the NHL. So yeah, I think, yeah, blaming Eichel and whatnot, yeah, I'm definitely over that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, brother. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't really want to like bring him up as often, but that like it, and it's, I'm probably saying like to the people, there's probably not that many people, but there are still, like, you'll still see it and you're just like, what the relax, like, I don't know, whatever, I'm gonna do what you want, but just know that I'm confused when you start complaining about them. Something I did just like a little housekeeping for the Sabermetrics podcast itself, got a couple, like, might be able to record before I go on this trip, but got a trip like right smack dab in the middle of August. I think after that we're gonna do like kind of like a season preview, training camp preview, stuff like that. Basically, we're going to do a lot of, hopefully get a lot of listener questions. We didn't do that today. It's something that I made it a point last episode to say, hey, we're gonna do this a lot more. But as you can probably tell, we're just winging it on this one. And it was just like, hey, do you want to record? And he was like, yeah, sure. I was like, all right, here we go. So that's where we're at. I think there's a certain, I don't know, like schedule that we've kind of like slightly discussed when it comes to like the preseason, getting a couple. This was a while back. Walt's looking at me like, I don't remember talking about this. Oh, we did. A couple... you know, a couple episodes back, at either before or after the show, but we will be doing, I would say like a couple good episodes to get the, before the season starts, what we're trying to say, during training camp, preseason games, maybe bring on some other TCB guys just to kind of get our feel for the beginning of the season, because it's creeping up on me, man. Like, us here at TCB, just like housekeeping wise, we're trying to do some things and trying to change some stuff up and explore different avenues, I guess you can say. And it's just like, holy crap, where's the time going? July flew by real quick. So it's dead right now, but it's going to ramp up quickly. And especially when you get distracted by the Bills too, because, you know, we'll all be, you know, focusing in on that. And then next thing you know, Sabres are strolling into town and everyone's running into players at Wegmans. Yeah, I saw Matt Dumba over at Wegmans on Hurdle. Which I don't know why I chose Matt Dumba. He signed with Arizona. I saw that before we recorded. He signed with Arizona.
Oh, really? That just happened?
Yeah, it just happened. It was like 1 year, $4 million, signed with Arizona. I was like, all right.
They're going all in.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know what's going on down there, but.
Yeah.
You know, good for, you know, at least they don't have to start off on like a 22-game road trip. Remember when the Islanders had to do that too because of their stadium? And it's just like, oh. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be nice to have like that month where you get to play all at your own place, but ugh, screw that, dude. I'm not doing, so no.
Living in a hotel for like over a month is crazy.
I mean, well, there's a difference between us living in a hotel and them living in a hotel. Yeah, like,
it's a different hotel every time, though. I feel like that would stress me out.
Yeah, I feel like, here's the thing with professional sports, you just have to be good at traveling. You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of naturally have to do it, that you don't necessarily think about. And this is why I really want to get like a Sabres guy or like someone and just ask them about like all the crap that people don't think about. It's like, yeah, like, you know, roommates, like how do you deal with someone that, you know, kind of like stays up later, stuff like that. And like, you know, what's the, you know, what do you guys do on like, do you guys have to stay in hotels that are super far away from the arena? Or are you close? Like, just things that people never think about. And if we end up getting someone on ever, we'll definitely reach out to other people. But that would be like, I want to be able to ask like questions that are interesting like that. Yeah. I'm trying to think of some others on the spot.
They definitely don't have like a normal like human type sleep schedule because a lot of times, like sometimes, games. Yeah, they fly out after the game some nights. So by the time you shower and everything and get ready, you're looking at like a midnight flight time. Depending how long the flight is, you get in like 2 or 3, get in the hotel, go to bed, go to like a morning skate at like 9 or 10. Then you got a little bit of free time.
Yeah, they usually go nap. You kind of have to with their schedule. I remember for me, I literally stopped. There's a few factors of stop playing men's league, but I had to stop playing because I was like, I'm sorry, I can't go to bed when the start time's 10:30. Like I have to be up and working. I have to be at the office and working at 8 a.m. Like, guys, I can't do this. Like there was other reasons too. That wasn't the only one. I was doing it for years, but man, that's tough. And like, yeah, like you said, like I'm someone that I can't sleep on planes. It sucks. And so I'm sure there's going to be a couple guys like that on, you know, that play on these teams too. And so that's got to be very, very difficult. And then West Coast trips and stuff like that, playing games at what, 10 p.m. start time, stuff like that. And that's why I always found it interesting. I think you and I, and I think maybe Jared went to a 12:30 or 1 o'clock start time and they're playing Anaheim. And I'm like, these guys are just strolling out of bed. This is,
oh yeah,
that's tough.
No, but yeah, that was definitely, I think that was like a noon start time. I remember I got caught up in the McDonald's drive through on Niagara Street at McDonald's. You always got to add an extra 20 minutes to your drive through time there.
Yeah. That was one. I was
strolling in at like 12:05, I think.
Dude, it was like half. No, it was like halfway through the first period. You're like, yeah, I shouldn't have stayed out till 4 a.m.
Maybe. I did that too.
Yeah.
So maybe. I was on the NHL schedule.
Yeah, that's right.
Instead of playing a game, I was at a bar.
Oh God. Yeah, that was. They ended up winning that game, so I'm glad they were in better shape than you were that morning. A little banged up, Walt. A little banged up. mixing the water.
Yeah, noon start time should be illegal. That's too early. I don't care if it's kids' day. A kid could go to a game at 1, too. That's not going to kill him.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just so... So disrespectful to make West Coast teams do that. But at the same time, here's something that this has nothing to do with Sabres. I freaking hate the Dolphin Stadium, dude. I hate it so much. Yeah, it's our competitive advantage. It's like, screw you, dude. Like, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that used to be like, the Sabres in the NHL with their, their rank size used to be smaller than every other NHL team's rank. Yeah, so it used to be like shorter. So they used to like kind of manipulate the game in that fashion too.
Dude, I remember playing when I was playing in Philadelphia. I guarantee this is where people start signing off because we're not even talking about the Sabres anymore. But I was playing in a place in Philadelphia, which, hey, if you've made it this far, appreciate it. As always, thank you very much. We're going to keep going just because this is fun, but we'll wrap it up sometime soon. But I'm playing in this place in Philly, and it was like a half rink almost. Like, we played a full game. We're like, the behind the net into the corners, it was an oval. It was so incredibly odd. It was not a full size rink. We had never played on anything like it. It was so incredibly odd. I think their name was like Bristol something or whatever.
Yeah, you played like 5-on-5 on there too.
Yeah, we played. It was a league game that we played on this.
Oh wow!
And we had played in that at that place before, but it wasn't on that rink. And I don't know what happened that made us play on this, but it was not regulation size. Like the little end line, like the corner. It was an oval. There's no other way to say it. It was a freaking oval, and I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, you have to go play on an Olympic size rink. And if I'm playing defense and you're going from this front of the net to the corner, you got to pack a freaking lunch. So it's just like, oh man. I mean, now we're getting into rink sizes here, but I mean, that's just.
They should do that in the NHL, just like kind of.
They
like
do that in soccer, right?
Like,
you can make like smaller pitch sizes and stuff like that.
You may be able
I'm
to.
I'm pretty sure they give you parameters like, hey, it can't be shorter than this or it can't be longer than this or like narrow or wide, but I'm pretty sure they do that.
Oh yeah, the NHL's got to do that. Just have like one team with a bigger rink and being like, "Oh, we got to draft guys that could skate," and a team with a smaller rink being like, "Oh, we got to draft guys that could hit."
Make like a bandy rink. If you don't know what bandy is, it's like field hockey on ice that they play over in
Oh
Scandinavian
yeah, I have
countries.
seen that.
Yeah, those man, I remember watching these guys skating up and down that. I'm like, my lungs would give out, and there's no chance. No chance.
Yeah,
It's a
no,
massive ice surface.
how's that even physically possible? I feel like I'd be like gassed like one trip down the other end.
You know what drives me nuts? They also do the same thing as field hockey, where they have too short of sticks. So they're bending down the
Oh
entire time. I'm
yeah.
like, my back is aching just watching this. It's screaming. I don't,
Yeah.
pff, I don't, I would never be able to do it. I don't care what, I don't care what shape I'm in. I'm not going to be able to skate up and down one of those massive courts or
That sport
ice
just sounds
sheets, whatever it
physically
is.
tolling.
Yeah, that's. But hey, you get a big rink, you start signing some bandy players, you know? It's like NFL guys picking up rugby dudes to start returning their punts or whatever.
It'll be a new recruiting strategy for the Sabres. You're like, we drafted the top bandy player in the third round.
That's right. Taro Tuju something something. Something Scandinavian. Not Tujimoto, but Tuja son. Something son. Anderson, whatever. I think that's 50 minutes. That's pretty good. Again,
Yeah, I mean, for an
this was
August episode.
August episode. No outline. I'm sure. I guarantee that. I'm like, we're gonna get off this and be like, shit, we should have talked about. Or oh no, I did it. Shoot, I did it. Well, dang. Someone bleep that out. Even though I'm the one that edits these, bleep. Someone bleep that out. Yeah, for not having anything written down or whatever and just winging it. Not bad. You know, hopefully people enjoyed, and I don't know. If you're listening to this in the car, make sure you're paying attention to the road. Oh God. I don't have any good ending, so I'm just gonna keep talking until something comes to me. I usually hand it off to you, but we need to get something to we can do our Premier League minute. Talk about
Oh
our
yeah, final minute for Premier League.
yeah, I talk about our Premier League teams. We're gonna start throwing some personality into these episodes. It's not gonna all be Sabres stuff, you know? You need to learn who we are. And I am someone that doesn't understand soccer and or football all that much, but I enjoy it so much. Really, like it was about this time last year where I was like, you know what? I'm gonna dive into it. And I've enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. Oh, the woman. Oh, dude, the freaking woman. Do you see that?
Oh yeah, the
Yeah, that was not
shootout
good.
loss to Sweden.
Dude, that was nuts, that ball. It was over the line, but oh my God, it was so close.
Yeah.
That was
Yeah, it's
wild.
just at that corner of like the final 16 was just brutal. Like
Yeah.
whatever team survives to the semifinals out of that group, like
Yeah. Do it with scrapes and bumps
yeah.
and bruises all over.
But it's gonna be cool to see like kind of maybe like a non-traditional team win it. I mean, I know a couple some teams that have never advanced to the round of 16 made it, and some of those teams don't even really get funding from their federations either. So,
I mean, my money's on Japan, honestly. They're good, dude.
yeah. I remember they played U.S. in the finals
Oh yeah. Who
two
was
of
it? Was it
the
Kelly
times.
O'Hara or Carly O'Hara, or is it Carly Lloyd that frickin' hit that bomb from midfield?
Oh yeah, I
I'm pretty
think it
sure that was in the
was.
game.
Yeah.
That was sweet. Well, that's not gonna happen this year.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
It's one
Actually,
thing we could win in soccer. We can't even make it out of the round of 16.
no. Best team, number one ranked team in the world, and down we go. So
Yeah.
that's a bummer. But yeah, how's high hopes for Brentford? So he's a Brentford fan. I'm a Wolverhampton fan. Wolverhampton, we at this point, I just hope we don't get relegated. It's looking freaking awful. Like apparently they've looked good in preseason, but they have no depth. They haven't brought like anyone in. They've had money issues. They've brought in like one, two guys that are going to be like bench warmers essentially, and that's it. A couple guys get hurt, it's over. They have zero depth. How's Brentford looking?
I I'm looking forward to this season. I mean, I know it definitely hurts to have your top guy suspended due to betting charges. So that's not going to be ideal, but I think the vibes are good. I also got to go to a Brentford preseason friendly in Philadelphia 2 weeks ago. Nice. So that was pretty fun to get to watch them in the U.S. Damn. And yeah, Premier League starts next week. So if you're looking to get into it, you could start next week. It's very fun league, very fun sport to follow. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I don't know, some things still kind of annoy me, like some of the, like, the massive flopping they do. But I being one of those hockey players that was just like soccer players. No, I have a very much like a newfound respect on them as athletes and everything and for football in general as a sport. I used to love it as a kid. Soccer was probably my best sport, and I was just like, nah, I'm going to play hockey. I loved hockey, but I was very much better at soccer, and I should have stuck with that. So that was a bummer, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, soccer was the first sport I ever played. I remember I played in the East Aurora House League, the under 8 division. Steve Tasker was actually my coach.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I remember I scored, actually. Like, it's
35 goals that year. I went off.
Oh, let's go. Yeah, dude. I was like, yeah, I didn't play with anyone like that, but you know who I was friends with? Lindy Ruff's kids. I was friends with them as kids, and I remember golfing with Lindy once or twice, and I think I mentioned it before on the podcast, but yeah, I remember golfing with Lindy, or maybe he took us out golfing. It was like the little junior program or whatever, and he did not want to be there. Or maybe he wanted to be there like with his kid. I don't think he wanted to be there with me, and I don't necessarily blame him.
Steve Tasker was like the opposite. That guy, like, he came to game days like ready. He was into it.
He seems like an awesome dude.
On my team. It was awesome.
I'm not trying to crap on Lindy. I'm just making fun. It was so many years ago.
He's a nice guy, but he's very serious most of the time.
Yeah, that's definitely true. He wasn't mean or anything like that, but he's just like a gruff dude. It's just kind of the way it is. So
it's in his name.
That's a good point. All right, I see what you did there. All right. Well, I think that's about it. We're going to give you the last word, and again, I appreciate everyone listening.
So I guess the last word is we're planning some new stuff for Chargy Buffalo season. One of them is going to be like a stream post-game show after the Sabres games this year. So that's something to keep an eye on once the season starts. We're really looking to get some more like day-to-day interactions with our fans and whatnot. We figured that would be one way to do it. So that's something fun we have coming up in the next few months.
Yeah, that's something I knew. Actually, I know it's your last word, but I'm jumping in. I did know this information, but I didn't know we were letting people know. So if you stuck around all this time, you got a little inside info that we're gonna try to do. Post game thing. We just find it will be fun, you know, heat of the moment kind of thing, and just good way to get more content out to people and have some fun with it. So again, appreciate everyone listening. This has been the Sabermetrics Podcast.